I know it's an exciting night. It's a cool night. But God, I pray as we just dive into your word that you would help my words to reflect what you want to be said and that we would all be able to listen without distraction. It's in your son's name I pray. Amen. All right, if you've got your Bible on your phone, you can go ahead and open it up. I will encourage you, like I do all the time, to make sure that puppy's in airplane mode so that way you don't get those notifications. And I know, here's the thing. I love you guys. I really do. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. But at the same time, like, I don't know if, like, you know that I know enough about phones to know there's a different color for the Bible app than Snapchat and Instagram and Facebook. So, I mean, like, I can see the differences. So, I mean, I want to warn you about that in case you weren't aware. But just so you know, I want you to know that I can see that. All right. We're here on the final night. We're here on the final night of our 4/12 Awareness Month. It has been a month of activities. It's been a month of games. It has been a fantastic month. But I got to tell you, I go on vacation next week, so pretty pumped about vacation at this point. So, I'll tell you where afterwards. I don't want you people tracking me. So, I'm turning my Snapchat on ghost mode. So, no, I don't. So, as we look into God's Word tonight, we're going to finish out our house values. So we've talked about how we are note takers. We've talked about how we enjoy life. We've talked about the fact that Jesus is better, that everyone contributes, that we speak highly. We've talked about how we are note takers and some of the other things. But tonight we are going to take a look at the fact that here at 4/12, we are going to be a place where we value people, where people feel welcomed here, but also the fact that we're going to go on outreach to other people. Last Sunday night, we went out and we put stuff on doors, and we just put information about the church on doors. I want 4/12 to be a place where we will go light our world. That's what GLOW stands for, by the way. That we'll be a youth group that will go light our world. That we'll go out and we will put pamphlets on doors. We will talk to friends. We will do whatever it takes to reach people with the gospel. Now, where do we get that within Scripture? Where can we find a story where it's very important that we act like this? Well, in Mark chapter 2, and I'm going to read you the story, and then we're going to just quickly hit 2 points on it and be done. But Mark chapter 2 and verse 1, it says, "And again, he, being Jesus, entered Capernaum after some days, and it was heard that he was in the house. Immediately, many gathered together so that there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door. And he preached the word to them." Understand at this point that Jesus was a celebrity, not because he was the Son of God, but because people could get things from him. Like they would heal, that he would heal them. So he was all about getting, these people were all about getting things from Jesus. So it was like a celebrity walked into the room and people, whoom, you know, they just all run over to him for autographs and things. That's what's happening. So it says, immediately, and he preached the word to them. Then they came to him, bringing a paralytic who was carried by 4 men. And when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was, where Jesus was. So when they had broken through, they let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." And some of the scribes were sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, "Why does this man speak blasphemies like this? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" But immediately, when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned thus within themselves, he says to them, "Why do you reason these things about in your heart?" Which, by the way, the moment, like, it's like some of you, if you were thinking right now, and I'm just being dumb, but if you're thinking, "I really wish Pastor AJ would shut up," and I'm like, "Oh, really? You think that?" You'd be like, "Oh my gosh." That's what they're thinking right now, okay? Like, how did he know this? He says, "Which is easier to say, or to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven you,' or to say, 'Arise, take up your bed and walk'? But that you may know the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins." Then he looks at the paralytic and he says, "I say to you, arise, take up your bed and go to your house." And immediately he arose, took up the bed, went out in the presence of them all, so that all were amazed and glorified God, saying, "We never saw anything like this." So in this story, you can see just about every house value, okay? You can see we love deeply. You can see that Jesus is better. You can see these things. But when we're talking about these 4 men, who were going to this paralytic friend of theirs and carrying him to the foot of Jesus, we really see the last two we're going to deal with, that we are people bringers and that friends become family. And the way we look in this passage is how we look at a couple of the characteristics of these guys to see what we want to be at 412. No one would look and say, I don't want to bring anybody to 412. I don't want anybody to bring anybody to 412. Okay, no one would say that. And if you do, that's crazy. So no one would look and be like, I don't want people here, okay? So we would all say, yeah, we want to be people bringers. And everybody would say, man, because of how I know I would want to be treated in a new place, I want friends to become family here as well. So we would all say that. The problem is the step we would take to be that. And so we're going to look at the characteristics that these guys had. The first one is this. They were selfless. They had a selflessness about him. They weren't about what they wanted. This was not fully about what can we get and what can be done for us. They were all about what their friend needed. Why do I encourage you to be people bringers? Because people need to hear that there's hope. Now, understand, and be real adult with me, okay, as we talk about this, because I'm not insulting anybody, but it would be very difficult practically to be day-to-day friends with a paralytic person, would it not? I mean, be very practical. I'm not saying you wouldn't love them. I'm not saying they're not friendly or anything like that, but the tasks that it would take with the paralytic, especially in that day and age where there are no wheelchairs or anything like that, would be a lot of requirement. So these guys are selfless in the sense that they're thinking of someone other than themselves. Paralytics, whether now, but especially back then, would require time and effort put into the friendship to take them with you. It wasn't just be like, hey, dude, I'll meet you at the street corner and we can go to get some wings or something like that. It was like, hey, dude, I'll carry you to the street corner and then we can go get some wings. So there's an extra step that was added within this thing, okay? So these guys are selfless friends because they're looking out at what their friend actually needs. Now, here's the thing. Their friend, in their mindset, what he needed was to be brought to Jesus. Now, their selfless responsibility is this. Now, remember, Jesus was a celebrity walking onto the scene. So for all intents and purposes, they could have just been like, peace, and gone and seen Jesus. I'm sure these people had like different things that they struggled with, that they wanted healed. They probably wanted things from Jesus. So they could have just been like, hey, he'll never even know. It's not a cell phone day where he's tracking me, okay? I just won't even tell him we were there. We're like, oh, Jesus was in town? How did I get this new camel? I don't know. You know, like that's probably what they could have done. However, in their mind, when they hear Jesus, immediately they go to their paralytic friend and bring him to Jesus. Now, their selflessness would look out at people, at their friend, and say, what he needs is to meet Jesus. The reason that we are people bringers is not because I want a bigger youth group. The only reason I want more numbers down here is not so we can check off, hey, we've reached this, we've done this, we've done that, we've done this, is because I want people to be brought to Jesus. I know that here we will preach God's word, whether it's upstairs in main service, whether it's down here, God's word's going to be preached, which means the hope of Jesus is going to be told. So why are we people bringers? Because we're selfless and we see that people need the hope of Jesus. They need to be brought to the feet of Jesus, but they're selfless, but there's also, and I love this, there's also a resolve to them. So when they brought the paralytic friend to Jesus, they get to this house and it's full. There's nowhere else to even walk into, okay? And they get there and they go up and you know what they said? Ah, we tried. We tried. We'll just leave him out here and we'll see if we can hear. He can hear us. That's good enough. That's not what they said. These mugs went up on the roof and broke through the roof to lower the paralytic man down. This was not their home, okay? So could you imagine being the homeowner down there like sipping your tea and all of a sudden like, what is that? And all of a sudden like this dude's just being lowered down through. Anyways, they go to extreme measures to make sure that this paralytic man is brought to the feet of Jesus. That's why I say when we get to our house values and when we want to say to people, man, we want you to bring people, but we want it to be here that friends become family because there's nothing you won't go through for family. There's nothing that you wouldn't do for family. Now, some of you be like, I don't even like my sister. Yeah, but as soon as someone else started picking on them, you would. Oh, yeah. Like, it doesn't matter what beef you have within your family. That's for you. But the moment somebody else jumps in, You're like, oh, okay, it's, no, it's not funny anymore. Shut up. You know, like it begins to take another toll. Family will go through and have a major resolve to make sure that we continue to and will always follow after Jesus. You know that there are teenagers in your school that have never actually met Jesus. They don't know the actual hope that Jesus provides. Now, some people you ask in your school, are you a Christian? Yeah, I'm a Christian. Because it's easy to just say Christians, right? Like, it's easy just to be like, yeah, I'm a Christian. Everybody's a Christian. Like, if you ask anybody, like, yeah, Christian, it's either atheist or Christian. But nobody, like, actually says, well, I'm a Christian, but I believe this. It's just, yeah, I'm an atheist, or I'm a Christian. So, here's the thing. There are people in your school that have no hope within Jesus. That's why you look around in your school and you see people trying crazy stuff. That's why you see them going from person to person or from drug to drug or from drink to drink, because they're trying everything but what actually works. And they'll say to you, no, no, I'm fine, I'm good, I'm fine. But a family member will have a resolve to make sure that they are actually okay through the hope that's found in Jesus Christ. So we are going to be people bringers here. We are going to be the ones who will reach out to those around us and say, you know what? It doesn't matter what anybody else thinks of me. Because here's the thing. Selflessness will say, it doesn't matter what you think about me. You know, the thing is, I get up every Wednesday and Sunday night and I love you to death, but I truly don't care what you think about me whenever I'm speaking. I really don't. Because my responsibility is not to please you. My responsibility is to do what God's commanded me to do. So yeah, when we're outside of here and we're talking, yeah, I want you to like me. Yeah, when you're in my car on the way to an activity, I'm not gonna shut up or anything like that, because I want to have a conversation, you like me, and we get along and everything like that. But in here, down here, the reason that I don't care what you think about me is because I'm trying to preach God's word. And I don't care what you think about God's word, it's God's word. So God's word is the forefront of everything we do. So for us to be people bringers, we're going to have to be selfless, but we're also going to have a resolve. I'm going to tell you a story about a friend that had a friend. So I had a friend who led another friend to Jesus Christ, but that one was not mine. Does that make sense? So a friend's friend, a friend of a friend. Thank you. So this friend of mine, this mutual friend, had this guy that he worked with, and he invited this guy to come to church for 5 years. 5 years. And every time, they'd be like, hey, it's a special event, you should come. Hey, you can win a PS4, you should come. And everything else like that. And the guy's like, maybe. And so finally, after 5 years, and I don't know if it was exactly five or whatever, but I was told 5 years, this guy shows up to church and he doesn't get saved. I mean, like, if you're the friend, okay, that's like a model story, right? Like, I prayed for 5 years, I invited this guy for 5 years, he came to church, and all of a sudden, the heavens split open, the angels were singing, and this guy accepts Christ, and he just goes forward, and everything was great. That's not what happened. In fact, the guy left the church and was like, it was all right, and left. That was it. The guy kept inviting him, saying, hey, you should come back. The guy comes back for another year. He starts attending more regularly. He comes back, and after the next year, he puts his faith and hope in Jesus Christ and gets saved. Okay, here's the thing. The greatest thing, I love the fact that the guy got saved, but the greatest thing is the resolve of my friend, who was so willing to just say, and it wasn't like every day, okay? It wasn't like he showed up to work like, church or anything like that, okay? It's not like that. But he invited for 5 years. He prayed for 5 years for this friend. And he had a resolve. Why? Because he wanted a little notch on his belt that he had led someone to Christ? Not at all. Because he was selfless and he had a resolve because he loved that friend like family. That's what I want us to be here. I want people to walk in and see that we glow. Not just under black light, but under the Bible. That we glow in such a way where we will go out from here and we will go light our world. We'll go light our schools. We'll go light our family. All because Jesus is better than anything you can stack up against him. So we will be people bringers here. We will invite people. I invite, you know, it's weird for me, okay, because when like a grown dude looks at you and is like, come to youth group with me. People are like, okay, no. You know what I'm saying? Like, it generally isn't smiled upon. But I do. Seriously. Like, if I'm at McDonald's and I see another teenager, I'd be like, hey, I'm youth pastor at Harmony right up the road, man. You should come and visit. We've got Sunday morning services at 10, and then we've got Sundays at 6, and Wednesdays at 7. You should come visit sometime. And everyone's like, where's that at? Because that's the question I get every time I invite someone. Where are you located at? We're right by the park. Oh, yeah, I think I know back there. Yeah, go to the park and look for the steeple. Yep, there we are. So every time I talk with someone, if I see a teenager, I generally will give them one of those come to youth group with me cards and invite them. Why? Because you really want a big youth group. You want to pack out the youth group room so that you can say you have a lot of teenagers in the youth group. Man, forget you. It is nothing about numbers. I mean, I really do love you. I do. But if you think that I'm in this for numbers, you're wrong. You are absolutely wrong. I'm in this because I love teenagers. I'm in this because I love people. And so I will always be a person, God willing, who will invite people, who will bring people to church, who will bring people to youth group, because friends become family. By the way, quick side note and then we're done. Families have arguments. Families have difficulties within them, but family is still family. So when someone walks in that back door, whether you know them from school and they're that girl, or whether they come in and you know exactly what that dude does on the weekends, he is still family here. Because friends become family here, and they will be treated as such. I don't care what your beef is with people, the moment they walk down them stairs, or the moment they step onto church property, they are treated like family, because that's what 412 is all about. With heads bowed and eyes closed, we're going to pray in just a minute. But I want to ask a couple questions first off. First off is this. I don't know you. Some of you I don't know. Most of you I know well enough, but I want to ask you this question, to think inside of yourself, to think within your own heart. I've been preaching about this, and I didn't really talk about the gospel. I didn't go into the good news of the gospel, what Jesus has done for us. But I want you to consider yourself, and I want you to think about the fact that all of us are sinners. Okay, there's no getting away from that. There's no, oh, I'm a good kid. No, you're not. Okay, you know it. I know it. We all know it. And I'll ask your parents, and they definitely know it. So we have all done wrong things. We've all done bad stuff. And the thing is that God can't allow bad stuff into heaven. So there has to be something then that bridges that gap, that takes the place on our behalf, and that's Jesus Christ. That's why we proclaim wholeheartedly that Jesus is better, because he took our place. So I want you to look inside yourself and ask yourself, was there ever a time when you came in your own mind and in your heart and said, you know what, I know I'm a sinner. I admit that. Man, I believe that Jesus is who he said he was and did what he said he did. And so I'm going to call out to Christ today and ask him to save me. Romans talks about, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Man, doesn't he need to know everything? You need to know all about soteriology and martyrology and angelology and all the other ologies you couldn't care less about. Doesn't mean you need to know about all that stuff. What it does mean is that we come with the faith of a child and ask Christ to save us. So if you're in your heart right now going, man, I'm not sure. Let me ask you this question, or let me give you this challenge. If you're sitting here tonight and I say to you, are you 100% sure that if you were to die, God forbid, but if you were to die tonight, would you go to heaven? And your answer is, I'm not 100% sure, then talk to me afterwards. Because I want it to be yes. I want it to be resounding, absolutely, I'm sure that I would go to heaven. But for those of you in here who have said, you know what, I've accepted Christ as my Savior, and I'm struggling. You know, there's things going on in my life. Man, I want you to know I love you. But Jesus is better than anything that's going on. Jesus is better than anything you can put up against him. So when you're nervous to invite that friend to church, whether it be youth group or main service, man, Jesus is better than your fear. Jesus is better than your apprehension. Jesus is better than that family issue you have going on. Jesus is better than anything you stack up against him. So let me encourage you tonight, make a decision to glow for Christ, that you will go out and light our world for the cause of Christ. Man, if I leave here in 150 years, yeah, I'm going to live that long. If I leave here in 150 years and I retire from Harmony's youth pastorate at you know, 180, my hope is that the legacy that's left behind is that 412 was glowing, that we were lighting our world. That's my hope. I don't care about my legacy in the sense of myself. I care about the legacy of our youth group. May we go out and glow in this dark, dark world. Father, I'm thankful for tonight. I'm thankful for, I mean, honestly, I'm overwhelmed. I love this group. I love their hearts for you. I really do. Lord, I know some of them struggle with their decision making. I know some of them struggle with family situations. I know the issues and the problems that some of them struggle with, but God, the fact that they're here, they're willing to learn more about you, would you help us to be more about you? Would you help our youth group to glow? Because you're better than anything we can stack up against you. We love you, Lord. We need you. It's in your Son's name I pray. Amen.